Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Bitbucket from Atlassian. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. Start your free account today at bitbucket.org/forthecode. And by Square, accept every card for the same rate and deposit your money fast with free chargeback protection, no commitment, or hidden fees. Sign up now to get free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/android. Welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 314, recorded on Tuesday, April 18, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm so glad everything has been revealed and we can now talk about the Galaxy S8.
Oh, that's your name.
Finally.
It's very nice to meet you. I'm so glad that...
That's my name.
Your name is too long.
Remember it.
I can't remember your name.
Sorry. That's what they said when I took the SATs.
You only get one choice. I only get one chance to remember that long name. My memory is horrible.
You can also call me Flo.
Oh, okay. That works.
Flo. Flo S8. That's what I'm going to call you from now on.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't do that.
Flo-sate. Flo-sate in orchid blue or orchid purple or whatever that color is.
Flo-sate
sounds like an allergy spray. It's like when allergies hit me hard, I use Flo-sate.
Flo-sate.
You know, I've missed so many opportunities to trademark my name and make some money off of it. I really have.
You really have.
But it's your name. You probably still could, right?
Maybe. We'll see. I'll let you guys know.
You can't trademark a name, though. That's like a common word.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you, Brian.
Flo-sate. There it is.
I think we needed that for your lower third.
No.
I think it works.
I'll keep them coming.
It's easy to entertain us here, and Brian knows this. This week, we're going to be going hands-on with the Samsung Galaxy S8, or rather, Flo will be. And she's going to tell us all about what she thinks of that. Also, we're going to talk about Google's antitrust settlement in Russia. Finally, a long time coming there. How Burger King gamed Google Home. Stabilizing video with Google Photos. A whole bunch of feedback. We got a bunch of feedback in today's show once again. I don't know. I'm enjoying the feedback-heavy show.
Me too.
I like the feedback loop, and I like that the floodgates are open and we're hearing from everybody. It's more collaborative. I like it this way.
I mean, we've always got a decent amount of feedback in the bag, as it were. But lately we're getting tons of really great questions, and it's hard to let them slide. So we're going to cover those. But before we do that, it's time, Brian, for the news.
The AAA crew might be easy to entertain, but we understand you need more. And that's why we provided Android news.
You do need more, don't you?
We do need more. And what we don't need more of is hearing the word Russia. But here we are.
This is true.
So a complaint by the Russian search engine Yandex in 2015 actually led to an antitrust case against Google, charging that Google's requirements for EOMs to include all of Google's suite and not competitor apps or search engines was anti-competitive. Google is charged with paying nearly $8 million. Is that supposed to be OEMs?
Yeah, it's supposed to be OEMs. Sorry about that.
Google's requirements for... You see, I'm not wearing any pants. Charging that Google's requirements for OEMs include all the Google apps and not competitor apps. Google's charged with paying nearly $8 million in the settlement. More damaging, however, is the requirement that Android open up its Android-based devices in Russia to no longer require exclusivity of Google apps and services, as well as offering alternative pre-installed search engines in some very EU-like allegations. And basically, Google has settled this case, and we're going to see some changes into how they approach things in Russia. They're actually developing a new Chrome widget to replace the Google search widget on the home screen that would include a choice screen. And they're also requiring Google to not impede pre-installation of third-party apps. So in other words, pay to play. And in other words, deals negotiated by carriers to fill the home screen with pre-installed apps, which we all know is nothing but fun times of bloatware. Russia striking a victory for the little guy in allowing freedom on Android phones. How do we feel about this, Jason?
I think what's interesting about this, you kind of had to guess that it was going to go this way based on the developments that we had heard over the last however many months. I think last October we heard that this was going to happen. So this is essentially the payment, the amount is minuscule compared to, I think, the actual kind of requirement of loosening up Google's kind of stranglehold on its own version of its OS. And that's a big change for Android. Yeah. I mean,
the $8 million is a drop in the bucket when you look at their market cap and the amount of cash they have in the bank. $8 million is nothing, but opening Android up to competitors, other search engines, that's like ceding market share.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very reminiscent of the Microsoft antitrust stuff from 10 years ago when Microsoft ultimately had to give users the opportunity to choose alternative browsers when they're installing Windows from the onset. So it's very similar to that. I'm curious to see if this is a precedent that is applied to other antitrust cases in other places, i.e. the EU. And I mean, because Google's facing very similar challenges in the EU right now under the microscope. So if this happened in Russia and Google, it happened successfully and Google's creating things like this Chrome widget to facilitate these things, does that make it easier for this to happen in other places? What do you think, Flo?
I'm having a really hard time unpacking this in my brain because I'm trying to make all these parallels to other political stuff going on, and I probably shouldn't mention
it's best not to.
So that's why I'm kind of keeping quiet over here.
Mm-hmm. Keep it away. It's just, Flo, it's a coincidence that it's Russia in this case, and it's nothing... I mean,
This has been going on for a while.
But I will say it's always a bummer.
Well, Jason, so is the other stuff.
Potentially, that's true.
It's always a bummer for the consumer when they got to deal with a bunch of bloatware.
Is it a bummer for the consumer when they have choice? Right. Which is the other side to paint.
Maybe Yandex is a better search engine in Russia. Maybe I want Yandex. Can we see the Yandex webpage, by the way? What does their logo look like? I've never heard of Yandex. At least I'd heard of Baidu and all this sort of stuff. Admittedly, I'm not in Russia.
Well, Yandex is the dominant search engine in Russia. It's like something like 60-some-odd percent.
It came pre-installed on the Yotaphone.
Yes, it's yandex.com. It looks like DuckDuckGo.
Russian Google.
It looks like old Google with all the stuff. Look at that. That's crazy.
Like, oh, there we are.
Yeah, look, it's...
We're in Russia.
That's pretty cool.
There's 67 million results of us in Russia.
Oh, look at that.
A lot of audios in Russia.
Yeah.
Our
fun times.
Our videos are in Russia.
Oh, there's Flo
in Russia. Singing Our Hearts Will Go On in Russia.
Oh, look at the Twitter link with the Russian translation of Twitter there. Tibnitip.
I don't know why it's making me giggle, but... I just love this parallel Google universe of this parallel Russian Google.
Maybe I'm Joe Russia and I'm there in Stalingrad. That's still a city, right? Or Leningrad or St. Petersburg or whatever. And I want to get my yen, my Y mail. I want to get my Yan mail. I want to see what movies are playing on the Yandex movie listing.
On Yanflix. Yanflix.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that like we see this as, they have to deal with bloatware and all this sort of stuff. But like, I mean, the EU charged Microsoft with doing the same thing with having browsers come pre-installed on Windows as an operating system. Flo, I'm conflicted. I have a hard time unpacking because I don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe this is more consumer friendly, but the peril is too much bloatware. And that's, so.
Could you ever see this happening in the U.S.? I mean, Google has the same dominance. I mean, Android's pretty dominant here.
If it's going to happen to Google, it's going to happen to Google and Apple at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, but I think the what's said about that as far as why they're different, even though it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, is that Google is an open platform yet dominates so much of the experience, whereas Apple's iOS is closed and that's all it's ever been. And it's, you know, it's controlled by Apple. So they're actually two different things. Again, like I say that out loud and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It kind of feels like one and the same. But from things I've read, that's what it seems like. So I don't know.
I don't think it would happen. Because the thing is that there's no Yandex.us that is struggling for users and being blocked by what Google is doing. Like, I mean,
there is a Yahoo and there is a Bing.
Right. We have competition. There's Yahoo. There's Bing. There's all this sort of stuff. And there are other options. And I guess the U.S. consumer knows how to work within those restrictions. I don't know what I'm saying, but I think with the amount of lobbying that goes on by these companies and the amount of stuff, you know, that's going on, and I feel as if we do have more competition and ability for somebody else to come through than maybe in Russia. And that's why they have to resort to this. Who knows though?
Yeah. All right. Moving on to something that I think we can all appreciate on this show, Flo.
Advertisements.
That's
on our Google Home devices.
There we go. I can appreciate advertisements, but when it comes by Burger King on the Google Home.
Yes. So what happened was last week, so you can't do this anymore. You can't do this anymore, but last week for a hot second, you could ask what you could do is you could watch a YouTube video, which was a 15-second Burger King ad, and a homie in the ad would ask your Google Home to tell you about the Whopper, and it would proceed to tell you about the Whopper and the ingredients inside the Whopper and that you should get a Whopper. And this is completely unsolicited. Like I didn't, or not unsolicited, but it was completely a surprise.
You know,
I didn't ask for this person to speak to my Google Home. I didn't give them permission.
This is advertising home run. This is fantastic.
It is. It is.
Here's the thing. I'm kind of pissed that Google stopped it. Because they didn't do anything. They said, hey, if you say OKG, it's going to light up. And if you say what's a Whopper, it's just going to read the search result back, which will tell you. Like, they figured out how to use this device that's in our house. And of course, you know, Google shut it down or whatever it is. But guess what? A week later, we're talking about Burger King.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Like, but also it's worth noting that, remember, Google did have that little Beauty and the Beast ad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
That showed up a couple weeks back. And my thinking is the reason Google removed it is because it was just done without their knowledge, because Burger King just programmed. I mean, who knows? Maybe they made an infant recipe.
They didn't program anything. All they did was they asked the Google Home, what is a Whopper? And they reacted and they said, okay, those are the search results. I bet you if you asked the Google Home, what is a Whopper? And it's like, I don't know what a Whopper is. They wouldn't have done this ad. But the fact that the Google Home gives back the search results to that question and the answer is what their burger is, they utilize that. I don't think Google should have shut this down, to be honest with you.
They
shut it down because they want to control the advertising on the device, which is, I understand where they're coming from, but Burger King didn't do anything wrong.
No, I don't think they did anything wrong. What I'm curious about is, first and foremost, was the search query when you would ask Google Home, did it always respond in that manner? Because now it responds differently. So Google changed it. Well, so now when you ask it, it tells you Wikipedia says that this is where the Whopper's from. Like, was that added just to make it not an ad?
No. So here's how it actually, here's what happened. You had to ask it very specifically. What is a Whopper burger? Which most people would not ask that. Most people would not say, what is a Whopper burger?
No,
they'd say, what is a Whopper?
Yeah.
What is a Whopper would give you a different result. What is a Whopper burger would read the top, the first sentence from the Wikipedia entry. Burger King, a person from Burger King, whoever was working on this ad campaign.
The ad agency.
The day of the launch or the day before the launch edited the top sentence from Wikipedia to change it from being an informational, like a Whopper is a hamburger from Burger King, the blah, 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 into – a Whopper is, you know, flame broil patty special stuff, blah, blah, blah. Well, they changed it, anyone can do with Wikipedia. Right. And then there was this battle back and forth. And then the question was really like, okay, well, one of the questions was anyone can edit Wikipedia. So if this is an ad campaign that Burger King is doing and it's going to launch the first sentence from Wikipedia for anyone's Google Home.
I can do my own ad.
Anyone could put anything there. So
I can make my own ad.
Some people were putting things in there about how it caused cancer. Some people were putting things in there, the blah, blah, blah. Eventually it got locked. It got reverted to the original thing, which was not the ad copy that Burger King laid in there. And so it was way less responsive. Not only that, Google did what they do with their own ads about Google Home, and they rejected the audio. So if that audio signature from that ad asks that question, Google Home will not respond to it. I can still ask that question. But
they
use
like the Shazam technology kind of thing, where they pick up what the audio signature is and turn it off.
Right.
Which I mean, but I still think maybe because I've worked in marketing and advertising and like, and that's what I still think this is genius, because even with it getting shut down, it's a win because everyone talked about it.
Yeah,
it is.
No, that's true. And also when you watch the ad, like, there's no production value in that sucker. It was like, put this person in front of a register at Burger King and say 15 minutes a copy and we're done. Yeah. And people will talk about it for a couple of weeks. And now I feel weird that we're talking about it.
Marketing executive has been promoted and has a bonus. And you know what? More power to them. And maybe it's good advertising too for Google Home.
Exactly. I mean, I was going to say, why didn't they do this with Alexa? Why didn't they do a version that worked with the Echo?
I think the only thing that was just sort of kind of bummed me out was just, you know, I didn't really expect to hear an advertisement that day. Like, I just kind of.
But you did.
Know,
but did it work for you?
It worked perfectly.
And it worked out of nowhere on you.
Yeah, and it worked out of nowhere. Yeah. And then, so I was just like, wow.
I mean, they shut it down pretty quickly that day.
Wait a minute. But hang on, though. But it worked because you were you watching TV and the ad came on, or did you watch the video online?
I watched the video online because that's how I watched TV.
You chose to press play on that video to see what this ad was about.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because I press play on a YouTube video and YouTube's connected to my Google account. Is that where you're going?
No. I'm just saying that it's not like you didn't expect to see an ad. You literally press play on
an ad. But I imagined I was watching TV in the living room and I was. Oh, okay. I imagined I was eating popcorn. It was all imagination.
Right.
In my imaginary world.
I still think it's genius, and I think it's fantastic.
No, I agree. It is genius.
Yeah, and it just shows the avenue that we're navigating down now. In that, with Wikipedia being an open platform and voice control devices in our homes and things like that, I bet you we're going to see more stuff like this happen down the road. Like, other people will try to replicate this.
Maybe. I mean, Google was pretty fast to eliminate it. Well, I also
find
kind of interesting, like. From the fact that, like, this has happened on shows on the Twit Network a lot, and not just Twit Network, anyone talking about these technologies on any podcast, and you almost always hear back from the fan base saying something like, "Yeah, don't do that. Like, that's so annoying." But hey, any way you can take something that just happens to be in someone's home and turn it into an advertising platform inadvertently and unbeknownst to them, that is pretty brilliant.
I just wanted to say, sorry about that, Jason. I just wanted to say that I did see the ad on TV.
Yeah.
So it did come on TV after it was disabled.
Right. And what's the point of the ad?
Google guys, really does come nothing. On. You have to pull it from TV, too. You can't, like, leave it on ABC7.
It just doesn't make much sense anymore.
Well, that's a whole process. That's a whole. They submit the ad. It gets approved.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break and thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Bitbucket. And we can be honest, we have a lot of people who code here. Your code is your world. You create it, you tweak it, you obsess over it lovingly every day, of course, because it's your baby. So picking the right repository management tool is super important. Only the best for your code is probably how you're feeling. That's why the team at Atlassian created Bitbucket. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. It helps over 5 million developers build with purpose. Bitbucket gives teams of all sizes free private repositories with state-of-the-art features, things like the world's best pull request algorithm. Pull requests facilitate code reviews. Collaborate right in the code with inline comments, all threaded conversations and mentions, built-in continuous delivery, branch permissions,
that help prevent errors by controlling the actions users can perform. You can also get granular permissions at the project level, at the repository or branch level. Integrations with your favorite tools, of course, other tools you're using like Docker, AWS, and Azure. And because Bitbucket comes from Atlassian, it offers the best Jira integration available. That gives your team everything that you need to take your code from concept to customer. And we use it here at Twit as well. More than 900,000 teams love Bitbucket. It's used by companies like Ford, PayPal, Starbucks, and Pandora. And it's the only collaborative Git solution that massively scales. And that's something that you really want. Bitbucket is for the code that takes us to Mars, decodes the human genome, or drives your next car. So think big here. Visit bitbucket.org/for the code. And you can start your free account. That's bitbucket.org/for the code. Try Bitbucket today, and you'll find out what your code can do. All right, it's time to hop into Flo's Hardware Shack. Although Flo really just has one piece of hardware, but it's a big one. But it's not the big version of the big one.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you mean our new co-host, Flo-Sate?
Flo-Sate. Yes, I imagine her lower third no longer says that, but that's how we think.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah? With the Samsung Galaxy S8?
Is this another Unpacked event?
No. So I guess I was just thinking during the ad. Oh, my gosh. There's another scratch on it.
Okay. Top of the list, apparently.
Okay. Top of the list. So let's just go in order. Design. Okay. This is the Galaxy S8. It is the smaller variant, although I guess small is relative here because this is a 5.7-inch Super AMOLED Quad HD Plus display.
And I've heard that the display is super duper sharp and the best display people have seen.
Okay, first of all, you guys, look at this Infinity wallpaper. Can you see this?
So, yeah.
Product shot. Let's do this. Wait.
Yeah.
I forgot it was close up. Sorry, guys. We switched product shots today. Look at this Infinity wallpaper.
So when you tilt, it kind of...
when you tilt...
you fly through space kind of.
Yeah, do you see that?
So is that just like the old Amazon Fire Phone wallpaper thing?
Like the perspective.
I actually don't remember. I never used the Fire Phone.
Well, it was the parallax effect so that if you were staring at it and you moved, it actually simulated kind of a three-dimensional
thing
based on your perspective of it.
So biometrics
look similar.
Are finicky. Finicky is all, so I'm going to try and fingerprint this. There we go. Surprise, that worked very quickly on camera, thankfully.
Does it not normally?
Now, look at the Infinity display, though. Can you see that the wallpaper is still...
It just drifts off the side
of
the
display. I love that it does that. And actually, any wallpaper that you put on here, you can add that effect to. So even if you put like a just really gnarly one, you could have that... little effect going on.
Little dots? That
no,
dot
not the little
effect,
dots, or? But just a little movement effect of it. Like
kind of shifting.
And,
yeah, the parallax. Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I like
it. Yeah, yeah.
It makes, you know, it adds a little bit of whatever, oomph. Let's see. Otherwise design. So this is Midnight Black. As you know, there are two other colors. I've already got a couple scratches on it, unfortunately. Lots of fingerprints. If you're going to get this phone... there's going to be a lot of, you're going to be cleaning it a lot.
Part of that issue
is that when you're cleaning a phone that much and the fingerprint sensor's on the back and just kind of flushly embedded in there, you see it's just flat. So when I reach into my pocket, let's say, or my bag to grab it, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And then you try to scan it in and maybe it doesn't work as quickly. Thankfully, it's working nicely on camera today.
Okay. Fingerprint sensor up in the corner on the back. That's been a pretty consistent quibble of people who are reviewing.
Huge quibble.
Would you agree?
Quibble. And my colleagues at Android Central agree. They agree. I was trying to make a ratio joke, but that flew over my head. Sorry about that.
Jokes.
I was thinking about it in my head and trying to make it come out and it didn't work. Anyway...
ratio jokes are my favorite jokes.
So that's the design. It's pretty. There's corners. There's cornered edges on the screen, so it looks kind of like there's a photo frame is what I likened it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these little squircles motif is applied to all the Samsung apps. However, there is an option in the settings that you don't have to have it on your third-party apps, so you don't have to deal with it too much. if you don't want to.
Otherwise, it's applied to all
It's applied to all apps. But as you can see, I disabled it in the app, in the settings panel. So that's the design, a little bit of the interface. Interface is a lot smoother and simplified, and I would even say more navigable than it used to be.
Yeah, I saw in a lot of reviews people saying that, like, don't, you know, I think even the review for one of the posts on The Verge said, like, don't,
yeah, I read,
you know, don't
today.
Don't be anti Touch Whiz right now because Samsung's really done a great job with their UI.
Yeah, and speaking of the UI, so this little button down here is a haptic home button, and it shows up on the lock screen, and you can press it down, and when you press it down, you feel a little vibration to kind of let you know that it worked, and then it's supposed to scan my face. But I've just been having, I've been having a lot of inconsistencies with the facial, with the face biometrics. I didn't set up the iris scanning, but I know from the Note 7, it worked fine on me. I know other people doesn't work very well. Usually people who wear glasses or contacts.
Can you have those all selected and running?
You cannot have all those selected at the same time. So actually, let me show you.
That would be really nice.
On the camera, when you go into the settings panel and you go into lock screen and security, it will tell you that you can only have either the facial recognition or fingerprint scanner, or face recognition or iris scanner on. So you can't have both at the same time.
Combine those and you've got a solid security.
So face recognition method uses the camera.
Right.
And the iris scanner uses the built-in IR blaster, which lives up here next to the camera. So there's some talk because it's like two different hardware or whatever. That's why it's not.
Oh, I bet you they figured that out.
Yeah.
Because the more you can combine these biometric methods, the more secure these. Because, I mean, face recognition in and of itself, we've seen they can be tricked with a picture.
I tried that, by the way. It didn't work.
Didn't work for
didn't
you?
Didn't work. Okay. And I'm going to the salon this weekend, and they have those mannequin heads, and I kind of want to try it out on those mannequin heads. You know, the ones that they use in beauty school to, like, practice hair?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I've been wanting to try and see if it can, like, tell a faux person's face.
Oh, wait a minute.
You know what I mean?
Wait, no, I don't.
Like a mannequin head.
This is such an interesting test. I have to understand. So the phone is trained for your face and seeing if the mannequin face will unlock
it? No, I'm curious if I can register and unlock it with a mannequin face. That's
You're going to set up a phone with the creepy fake mannequin face. Is the mannequin face going to have makeup applied to it? Right, okay, yeah.
I'm curious to see if that works.
I gotta make sure it shows up at the salon this weekend. So, but regardless, that is one of my tests that I want to try before I have to let go of this review unit. Other things, it's so
close.
Oh my God, it is. Ryan. Actually, we both have brown eyes, and
there's some similarities there.
Yeah. I don't know if I appreciate
that. The part in the hair is the same.
All right, back to the Galaxy.
Anyways.
By the way, that photo was Flo S7 or Flo 7, as we called her.
Flosa 7.
Flosa 7, and we've upgraded to Flos 8. So here you go.
Yeah. So this little guy is also VR capable. But unfortunately, I don't have a Gear VR to show off on the show today, like I had hoped. However, there is the new and improved game launcher. Now, the game launcher kind of looks the same as last year's, but
in the Note 7, right?
The game launcher actually came originally on the S7.
Oh, was it
when it was introduced? Okay. And I like the game launcher because I like to record my gameplay for Pokemon the Card Game Online. Because, as you know, only thing I'm the most competitive about in life. But yeah, when you're inside a game, you just kind of start it up. And instead of the little chat window that used to exist, it's not morning. Instead of a little chat window that used to exist, now it's just a tiny little button that lives. You can lock the screen. You can increase the resolution since this is a 18.5:9 ratio. Certainly hope I said that correctly. So 18.5:9. So it's taller.
Yeah.
To, you know, make up for all that screen that it's got there. And when you're playing a game that doesn't fit in with this screen, you'll see black bars on the top and bottom to kind of like fit it in as it normally would on a 16:9 smartphone. Yeah.
That display looks really nice. I can't help but notice that for a Samsung phone, I'm not used to seeing this order.
Oh, yeah, I changed it around.
So you can change the navigation buttons around. Finally, thank you, Samsung.
Finally.
So they always have that back button on the opposite side, and it's just
it comes like that
why
by default.
Do you stay
it
like
comes
that?
Like that by default, by the way. So you will have to change it as soon as you take it out of the box. Other sort of things of note is actually some software features that came over from the Note. Very minor little things, but the Smart Select, which is just a great cropping tool. You can use it to pin windows to the top. You can, you know, say you're working on two things at once or something of the sort. You can use it to crop out parts of the screen, or, of course, you can make your animated GIF like you could on the Note 7 out of a YouTube video, which is really, really helpful.
Cool.
As far as one-handed usage goes, I thought that this model was the easiest one to use one-handed, but it's still a little hard with the tall display to sort of like reach up if you have smaller hands and do that. And, you know, if the fingerprint sensor was always responsive, well, it would make this easier, as you can see.
Now, what are you trying to do? Because it's already unlocked. Are you trying to like swipe down?
I'm swiping down the navigation.
Got it.
The notification shade.
And the fingerprint sensor doesn't have a click to it, right? Like it's just you tap
just
to it. The only like actual tap that you ever feel is that home button, which is underneath the display, but you feel the kick when you push on it.
Every time.
I thought that felt really nice.
Phone is making little vibrations, and actually you can adjust the sensitivity of that in the settings as you like. So if you want it to be more intense, it can be.
And it's pressure sensitive. You actually have to push down hard. It's not just tapping the screen. Yep. There's a button underneath there.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
There is a one-handed mode if you want to use that. Multi-windows enabled. It comes with a couple of extra little features. So, for instance, you can make a little pop-out window, and then I can just play a little game over there.
While you look at all those settings and decide on them, you can continue playing the game.
I can go in this screen, and I can look at my... Well, I was going to show you that there is a video enhancer mode. I thought that would be relevant, considering I had a game in a pop-up window.
HDR support, right?
Yes.
High dynamic range video support.
But currently, you can only view, only Netflix.
Right, yeah. The sources are limited at this point.
The phone, it's 5.8 inches.
So, right.
Or 7.
Yeah, but HDR, you could see a lot more on these smaller screens than you could 4K.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? 4K, more resolution on a smaller screen device, not as important. But HDR, you're going to see that pop.
Inside, Snapdragon 835, the first phone on the market with the processor, 10 nanometer chip, tiny little chip, supposed to be very energy efficient. I can tell you, I've only had this phone for 6 days, so I'm not 100% about battery life, but I can tell you that when this screen is on, it uses a lot of battery life.
Yeah.
So I was watching the battery just fall as I was using it for navigation the other day.
It was like an infinity display for your battery life just trickling off the edge.
That's a good idea, actually.
That was beautiful. You might notice that I don't have a little Bixby launcher, but that's because I had it so that it pops up when I press the button.
Bixby.
So this is Bixby.
What do you think?
Look at this. Nearby places. We can go to Lagunitas after this. Here's a picture I took at my house yesterday.
Lagunitas isn't open on Tuesdays.
Oh, really?
Otherwise, yes, I would be there every single Tuesday after the show.
So this is relevant. This was pulled in from Foursquare.
Oh, okay.
Do I have Foursquare installed? I actually don't know if I have Foursquare installed. Maybe I do. It pulled in some playlists from my Spotify playlist. It pulled in my Google Calendar. I have a concert calendar. I'm not actually going to concerts. It pulls in, it has its own separate like reminders feature. Most visited web pages from the Samsung browser app, not Chrome, unfortunately. Twitter. You can customize these as you want. So Facebook, you can say if you want to pin it. I don't know so much about the content customization yet. I don't know if that's coming, if that's really something that's going to happen or what.
Do you find yourself turning to Bixby for things?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But again, I've only had the phone for 6 days.
Yeah, right. I wonder if it's the kind of thing that you kind of have to force yourself to use for a little while and then it makes sense. And it's also missing a very major feature.
Which is the actual assistant feature. But look, I can show you the Bixby Vision, which is the camera portion. So maybe you want to go to...
I'm like, where is the product?
I got a product right here.
Oh, you do?
I got kombucha.
Okay.
There we go. Let's see if I can do this. Oh, this is I hope you guys can see the same.
Yep. Okay. So it's doing the little.
All right. So it just.
It's recognizing the label.
Recognized it. So what I can do. It thinks it's wine. That's cute.
Kind of looks like it could be wine.
It thinks it's wine. That's cute. Let's see. Shopping. Let's see where I can buy kombucha on the internet.
So it's.
No matching products
not
found.
Matching. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. But let me show you, because what I found seems to be an issue is that it's not taking the whole picture to kind of recognize what's happening. So let's
just
see if that works.
Taking part of the label.
Do-do-do. Can we find this kombucha online? No.
What if we put up the recognizable Google
Pixel
phone? Oh,
okay. Yeah, let's do this, and then I'll show you something funny afterwards.
Let's see if maybe Samsung doesn't want you to get a Pixel phone.
All right. There we go. Okay. Shopping.
That was quick.
Amazon Basics phone for iPhone 7.
Okay.
iPhone 6S wallet case. iPhone 6S case and iPhone 7 Plus case.
I mean, I know some people think the Pixel looks like the iPhone, but that's
wrong.
9 million
results on Amazon, and that's what Bixby turned up. Okay, let's take a picture of my Chromebook over here. And actually, we can probably go to the wide shot for this because it's going to be awkward from this angle. But I want to show you guys the result because I put this in the review on iMore. So I'm going to take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. Okay. I'm going to increase. We can go back to the over the shot. Sorry, Brian. Thanks for being so great. So there's my Chromebook, right? I'm going to go shopping for it. Let's see what they find me online. Apple MacBook Air 13.3-inch, Apple MacBook, Apple MacBook Pro,
wow,
Apple 13-inch
Bixby
MacBook.
Really likes the Apple
it
products.
It says Asus on the front of the device that, like, right here, you could say it says Asus on it.
Yeah, it says it.
Nope, doesn't know it's the Chromebook Flip. It went after the keyboard, and that seems to be it looked at.
It's a laptop, so obviously.
I can also look up images on Pinterest, by the way. Huh. Look at that.
Bixby has
No, that's a MacBook. Just kidding. Yep.
Yeah, Bixby has a thing for Apple hardware. Samsung Bixby has a thing for Apple hardware.
Well, it's powered by Pinterest, so maybe Pinterest has a thing for Apple. Well, the other one also.
All I know is based on what you've shown, it doesn't seem like it works. But it as advertised, but it is early days, right? Like, this is still, would it be considered beta?
This is definitely beta. This is a half-baked feature. I mean, the real reason you want to use Bixby is not even enabled on here. I'm supposed to be able to talk to it, and it's supposed to be able to edit photos for me, and it's supposed to be able to... I'm supposed to be able to say, Bixby, play the Women of Electronica playlist that I've got on Spotify, and I'll go, all right.
I mean, the challenge that Samsung faces here, and I think we talked about this last week when we've heard that Bixby Voice wouldn't be on there, is that people are going to get this phone, they're going to try Bixby out and make a snap decision based on how not good it performs for them, or maybe it performs good for them. But I mean, based on what you're seeing here, if I had played around with this for 10 minutes, like, my mind would probably already be made up and be like, oh, God, I'm never using that. And I would never even experience the voice. Now, of course, I would do that because I work at Twit, and you would do that, you know, we would do that because this is part of our jobs. But the average person might do that once and decide, okay, this doesn't work for me, and never turn it on again.
Well, maybe. I think about how many people still use Siri, even though Siri's been kind of,
I suppose,
fluctuating in features.
Can you do assistant on here?
Yes, you can. So I can hold down the home button.
So you have your option to do something else. So, like, I wonder if you got the other.
I can help you. What can you do?
So,
what can you do that the Galaxy S8 can't?
Ooh.
Well, that's the Lifehacker Australia.
Yeah. No, Google, you need to get on that.
Hang on. Ask it what a Whopper is.
What is a Whopper?
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, oh no.
Oh, it's a thing that is extremely or unusually large.
That's why they had to ask, what is a Whopper burger?
So, camera.
Mm-hmm.
Camera. That's a thing I know we want to talk about,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, here's the camera app.
Improved sensor inside.
Improved sensor. So, here's what I can tell you about the sensor. It's a 12-megapixel dual-pixel Sony IMX sensor, and it's got an aperture of f over 1.7 and 1.4 micron pixels with optical image stabilization. The front camera is an 8-megapixel camera with autofocus. And of course, you know what, though? that's not even the biggest feature of this, though, because, well, I have to say, first of all, this camera is great. It's great. It's just as vibrant as the last two Samsung devices that you were using, maybe even a little bit more refined this time around. Of course, you still get really, really saturated and contrasted images from time to time, especially if you're taking photos outside on a bright day. Low light is phenomenal. I'm just taking pictures of Jason's rings.
You. Yes.
Ooh, you know what we'll do Embrace while we're here talking about this? I'm going to do a selective focus picture so that like we can do. We can get a little bokeh. Muscles. Stand still. We need to do a bokeh.
Oh.
It's going to do a bokeh, the selective focus, which is basically the wannabe portrait mode.
Oh, is that the bokeh?
Kind of, yeah. You can edit it. This has been actually on a couple of Samsung phones already, so it's not brand new. I just, people don't really talk about it existing, so I'm talking about it. Also, what is really great about the camera are the face masks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it has like...
So it has built-in face masks and...
Filter masks things.
Face masks.
Okay.
They're face masks.
That's what they're called. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they're called. Okay. I haven't checked on whether or not Snapchat Filters is patented. But anyway.
But they are really masks. Yeah, so that makes sense.
So what I'm going to do, I don't know how to show this. We'll figure it out. Okay, so two things to note. First of all, there are face masks.
Okay.
Second of all, I have this on selective focus. That's why it's not working. Second of all, there is a skin tone mode, so I can make your skin look really nice.
Beauty face?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a beauty face. Sorry. Let's see. Now I'm going to give you a mask of sorts. I'm wondering what I should give you. There's a lot of them on here, by the way. Just upon arrival, there's a lot of them to use. Ooh, let's make you look like Breaking Bad.
Okay. So take a picture.
Okay, so if you open your mouth, it'll do an effect. OMG. Okay.
And is it recording?
Oops. All right.
I took a picture anyway.
Okay.
I'm singing in the rain. Okay.
So, augmented reality face masks.
All right.
They're, you know.
That's fun for.
They're silly.
A little bit of time.
Are they though?
I don't know.
I mean,
are they? Okay, so you are a Snapchat user.
This does not translate. So, first of all, these won't translate to Snapchat because Snapchat's native import functionality is just atrocious. But they will work really well on Instagram. Oh, see, even when
but
I look
the
at
quality
it, it
of them, like, are they as good as like the filters that you get on?
Yeah, they're
Snapchat?
Pretty good. They yeah. actually, I found. I wonder if it's because of the facial recognition technology that it's just better at tracking my face than Snapchats are.
Okay. Yeah, could be.
But now the phone is all hot.
Oh no,
it's hot like Hansel.
What does that mean?
It's warm because I'm
Samsung phone gets hot. What does that mean?
We're at 88%, by the way. We started at this, I think, at like 93%.
Okay.
Or something.
Wow. It's trickling off the edge. That battery is just trickling off the edge.
We'll have to rewind to see
display.
When it starts. But anyway, there's a couple more things I'm still exploring.
Can I hold it?
Yeah, please. Please
can
do.
I paw at it
there's
a
couple
bit?
More How? Things I'm still exploring about the camera, which is why I'm kind of, you know, being a little brief at the moment because it's just been a chaotic couple of days.
How hot is it, Jason?
I mean, it's warm. It's not hot.
It's warm.
It's kind of.
It's not going to blow up.
I hope not. I'm holding. I hope I'm not holding a blowing up phone. It doesn't feel like it. Definitely
Whoa,
feels
there
super.
It is.
Oh, jeez.
Definitely feels super. Like the contours of it are really nice.
Look at the
it feels
buttons.
Really nice.
Look at the buttons, like how they're black and how they just sort of fade into the chassis. It's kind of like, you know, when you see black rims on like a black car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Oh. Flo just showed her East Bay attitude
yes,
right there.
Yes, I did.
Oh. All right. So I'm going to see if I had this phone, would I automatically know?
She's got a San Francisco phone, but an East Bay.
How'd you do that?
I swipe down, swipe up, swipe
Wait a
down,
minute.
Swipe
it
up,
reads your fingerprint,
down.
Too?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it does. I'm not unlocking it. It's already unlocked,
oh,
so
duh.
I can use it for
Duh,
motion.
That makes sense.
So,
you guys have a little spent, by the way.
I mean, so this is my first time actually holding the device, and I can absolutely see how easy it is to think you're on the fingerprint reader and you're on the camera.
Yeah.
Not to mention... A lot of times I hold my phone like this, like with a finger down
yes.
there. Why? Because I drop my phone all the time. That makes this actually very hard yes. to reach. And if you got the bigger one, that's going to be an even bigger issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Reaching up there.
It is.
Whereas on, you know, the phones where it's centered, it's really easy to just bend your finger and tap the middle and boom, you're in. So I could see that being a real big annoyance, actually.
Yeah, you'll want to set up smart lock if you're going to be driving with this thing, because the last thing you want to do is try to unlock it while you're driving with the fingerprint scanner where it is. Because I tried driving with it last week without that smart unlock.
And not to mention, I mean, so the home button is the physical thing I push down. I really like how that feels. Mm-hmm. But if there is something to be said for the home button also having the fingerprint reader embedded into it, because when you pick it up with the screen off state, it would be really nice to do that the way you have been with other Samsung devices, and boom, I'm in. Instead, that home button that does wake it up really does little except take me to lock screen, and then I have to also then do that. I don't know, on the back. Maybe that's a small complaint, but I'm excited to get mine.
It's exciting. It's a good phone. Unfortunately, we didn't get Dex in time for the review period, but you know, that's coming up. I'm going to be comparing it to the Pixel, and I haven't decided if I want to go with last year's phone or maybe comparing it with the G6 as far as camera capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a little time with it out in the field to really, see how it is, and battery life as well. But I mean, we'll update you in time. You're holding the two big phones of the year right now, which is the Pixel and the Galaxy S8.
But I'm not holding the bigger of Samsung's big phones. Really curious to see how that stacks up in size compared to the Pixel XL, because this is the Pixel XL and they're almost the same size.
Shoot, I didn't even think to, my goodness, I was trying so hard to get everything finished. I didn't even think to do that comparison myself when I had the GS8 Plus, but
I mean, this is just shy of the size of the Pixel XL.
So the GS8 Plus is bigger than the iPhone 7 Plus.
So it's a beast.
Yeah, but think about the screen size you're getting on that. Because if we think about the Galaxy Mega, I think it was back in 2013, it was a 6.3-inch display, and that phone was huge, and it was plastic, and it was terrible. You're getting 6.3 inches on a relatively smaller display, 6.2 inches. I keep saying the wrong inches, and I apologize for that.
Solid stuff.
There's still quite a bit to unpack. Yeah.
Not appropriate, Brian.
I like it, though. The explosion animation works here.
We appreciate your passion, Brian. For exploding Samsung devices.
This is how disgusting it is, with all the fingerprints.
You're actually out next week, but you're going to take that wherever you're going and enjoy it, and then we'll hear the week after. I'm going to be here next week, probably have used the S8 Plus over the weekend, so we can talk about it.
Are you getting the Gear VR package as well?
I pre-ordered, so I don't know if it ships with it or if I have to wait for that.
I would think so. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to use the Gear VR yet. It's been a crazy time trying to get all the material up, but I am super looking forward to just kind of exploring it more and seeing what it really is like with the day to day.
It feels really nice.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels really nice.
It also feels like I'm going to break it, because that's what I do.
It really does feel like you're going to break it constantly. In fact, maybe I should get you an OtterBox case.
I would love that. I think
you
it's
couldn't
essential.
Put it in your pocket, though. But would you wear it on a holster? Like,
oh, please stop right there! I just have to stop this. I have to stop it. Listen, Jason is my friend, and even holster. He knows not to wear a phone on a holster on his belt. I apologize to any listeners who wear their phones on a holster on their belt. That's fine if it works for you.
I've never worn a phone on a holster on my belt.
Yeah,
really?
I don't know. I haven't. Should I? No, I think I'll just put a case on
it. I have fanny packs, so don't ask me.
All right, that's fantastic.
That was the Galaxy S8.
That was good, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about it in the coming weeks.
There's just more
real quick, we've got a couple of apps to do. Let's do that right now.
Woo.
All right, you can take a breather, Flo.
That was much longer than we planned for, Flo. All right, so let's turn back the clock to the early 2000s when Google was a young, new, exciting thing, and it started expanding outside of being a search engine. One of the things it created was this app called Google Earth that blew our minds. I remember sitting in my office in like 2003 and just amazed at this desktop app that could zoom in on satellite imagery and see stuff. And in the intervening years, Google Earth has kind of faded. It's just this thing that's out there. But I got to give Google credit. Their recent update to Google Earth, version 9 on their Android app, rolled out some major updates and some really cool stuff. So now they've got something called the Voyager section that jumps you to major landmarks for YouTube video content, 360-degree views, and that's all at the direction of scientists and documentarians. So you're getting a lot of – they're pulling in content from all the other places in Google like YouTube and the 360 stuff that they've been doing the past couple of years. That's pretty cool. It kind of turns into like a guided tour that's curated by experts, which is pretty cool. There are 40 of these stories to start and more to be added over time. But the thing that blew our mind at work today was looking at this the new I'm Feeling Lucky button, which you remember was the I'm Feeling Lucky button on the Google search engine gave you to a random search result. Now in Google Earth, I'm Feeling Lucky takes you to a random point on the Earth anywhere, and then it gives you knowledge cards to learn about that area. So it's really a lot of fun to just hit I'm Feeling Lucky and just bounce to somewhere else in the world and get information about it.
Where am I? I feel like I'm missing it. I haven't seen that button.
He wants to get lucky.
I want to get lucky.
He's staying up all night to get lucky.
Is that on the side or where is it? I can't see on the because my
settings.
I want to feel lucky. I mean, I can go to where I am right now.
Hit search.
Search.
Upper right.
Uh huh.
Oh, it's not there.
I'm feeling lucky.
No, it should be there.
It should be. Well, I'll keep looking.
It's there. It's somewhere in there. So
there's Twit, by the way. Really cool stuff. I love that. I mean, when you go in here and you just see that they've like...
It's 3D.
They three-dimensionalized all this.
The trees are in 3D, I mean, guys. It looks like a Sim City, but we're inside that building right now. That's not creepy.
It's really cool. It's really cool. They did a really good job on this version. And the added content and the curation and stuff like that really makes it, you know, for kids and for, you know, you can just sit with this app and get lost in the world, which is so much fun, you know, like, and all the data they've been pulling together is just, it's massive.
I was hoping to hear some VR with this because, I mean, this seems like made for a VR, like a daydream support. Of some sort.
And I even love that the freeway, like 101 freeway, has the badge on the freeway, just the way that you would see it, you know, the sign in person.
Uh-huh. Paris.
I don't know why. Let's go to Paris. Like that.
Let's go to Paris, guys.
Well, all right. Here we go.
All right. Ah, super fast.
Wait, which airline do we fly?
Google Air.
Okay.
Google Air, but yeah, oh man, this app is so cool. It's so much fun to get lost in it, and like you just zoom in, and everything's 3D.
Go to the Eiffel Tower. Go to the Eiffel Tower. Come on.
I don't know where it is, but I'm sure it's somewhere.
Type it in.
Let me scroll for 20 minutes, and I'll find it.
Did you get the I'm Feeling Lucky symbol? What is that new symbol in the corner?
Where?
Up there in the right hand corner. Is that a new symbol?
The street view.
Oop. Paris.
Oh.
Though that must be my history. Lots to obviously look at.
Does anybody know where the Eiffel Tower
is? Oh, there it is. There it is. Hey, let's go to the Eiffel Tower. Phew, we got there.
Look at us. We're going into the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, no, I know Paris was 3D before Cousin Ojah, but it's fun to show it off. And see, it takes you on this little journey. You get to see the whole area.
Oh,
gives you a little
France.
Informational cards. It's pretty cool.
We have baguettes.
So.
Wow. Maybe. There it is. Google Earth. Very cool.
All right. Good Google update. Earth. Lots of fun. Google Photos also got an update, which I couldn't find any videos that I needed to stabilize. But apparently if you...
Oh, good for you.
I mean, I'm sure they're in there. I have so many things uploaded. It was like, find something to stabilize. And I realized it was going to take me 2 hours to do that. So Google Photos now is applying their magic to improving your videos by stabilizing recorded video. I do have a link in there below the story link here that kind of compares like before and after. It's basically churned in frame by frame. So it's all in real time. Yeah, there's a link in the doc below this one. Brian. And yeah, there you go. So you can see that's before, kind of shaky, and that's after. Smooth as butter. smooth as silk as you ski down the mountain. Really cool. I mean, that's an awesome feature that I'm sure a lot of people will get a lot of use out of. It has to do some cropping and some, you know, kind of shifting of perspective in order to make it happen. That's before. That's
Wait, who's,
after.
Whose oh, videos yeah. are these?
I don't know. This is someone that posted it on Reddit.
Oh,
kind of
okay.
did a gallery of, okay. of their own photos to kind of compare. So this is before.
That was nice of them.
Or no, this is after, I think. And this is before. Oh, my goodness. It's all over the place.
Jeez, stabilize your video. Oh, there we go.
Pretty cool. So anyways, there's a feature. Google Photos. Getting better and better. And
it's still the best.
It's the best around. Yes. Ron, you're up.
All right. Speaking of the best, let's thank Square for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And Square, you know Square. And they started with this radical idea that the more that they could help businesses succeed and grow, the more they would succeed and grow. So they set out to make tools that would help every business. Square lets you take payments anywhere, any way customers want to pay, so you never miss a sale. Square's hardware and software is reliable, easy to use, powerful, and affordable. The free MagStripe reader plugs into your headset jack on your smartphone or tablet so you can swipe cards the old-fashioned way, accept chip cards and NFC payments with the new Square reader that's just $49. It's compatible with your iOS and Android devices. It connects by Bluetooth LE, so you don't have to worry about not having a headset jack. See, there you go. They're listening to the new wave of phones with no headset jacks. Square is prepared. Slip your iPad or tablet into the Square stand to complete your point of sale. Sign up in minutes and accept every major credit card for one simple rate. 2.75% per swipe, dip, or tap. 3.5% and plus 15 cents per keyed-in transactions. Square will create custom pricing packages for businesses with annual revenues over $250,000 and an average ticket size over $15. No hidden fees, penalties, or commitment. Just pay for what you use. Square deposits your money within 1 to 2 business days. If needed, on-demand deposits cost just 1% of the total deposit amount. Square's also got your back with up to $250 a month in free chargeback protection. Check your sales on the Square dashboard using your PC or app. The Square dashboard allows you to see historical and real-time sales data, track inventory and send marketing campaigns, create loyalty programs, and much more. Connect Square with your favorite apps and services like QuickBooks, Weebly, BigCommerce, etc., or use their APIs to build your own solution. Square provides top-level security and great customer support free of charge. So find out how Square works with your business today. If you sign up now, you'll get some free processing on your first $500 in sales at square.com/android. Some terms apply. That's square.com/android. And we thank Square for their support and for making payments so easy to take. So thank you, Square.
Thank you to Square. All right. We've got a bunch of feedback, so we thought we'd rattle through these today.
We don't have a feedback bumper, I realize, yeah, Jason. We need something gone. we need we get mail. It's Android mail.
It's Android mail, and you send it to us.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right.
All right.
We'll snip that out. Flo, you're up.
Well, the first email. I just got my brand new Samsung Galaxy S8. To my surprise, since the official release date in Canada is April 21st, and for some reason, my provider sent it to me on April 17th.
You win.
You definitely do. My question is the following. I have lost the quick setting access to toggle the hotspot on the phone. I use this feature multiple times every day since there's no Wi-Fi on my commute to work and none at the office. Do you know of a way for me to have a quick access to toggle the hotspot on and off on the GS8? Thank you, Patrick from Canada.
Yeah,
and that hotspot will become available on April 21st, the actual release date of the phone. That's the catch 22.
Okay,
you got the phone, but it's not going to work.
That's very interesting, actually. So is that true? Because actually,
no, it's a joke.
Okay, well, the reason I say that is because today when we were doing the Android Central podcast, Dan was talking. Dan Bader, my colleague, said that he didn't have the hotspot option on his phone either. He was using the GS8 on the TELUS network, which if I recall correctly, is an MVNO.
Daniel's in Canada, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So maybe it is a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And this phone, you know, by contrast, is on T-Mobile, and I have the hotspot right there in the quick settings.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some forums, and it's possible it's not on AT&T. It's not on
Interesting.
Sprint. So it sounds like some carriers have the ability to include it or not. What I'm wondering is,
wow.
Ron, you've featured a quick settings app before. I know I have two. I think Tiles was mine. I mean, there are
mine apps. Mine was Quick Shortcutter. I had Shortcutter, and then I had another one, which I forget, which I don't think I'm using currently. But yeah, I mean, there might be ways to uncover it. But if the carrier is blocking it on there, if there's some sort of setting that's blocking it on the phone because it's not compatible with that, you know, so it's kind of like how, you know, with the LTE, with the VO icon, you know, when you get the voice over IP LTE. Yeah, like if it, there's got to be a handshake between your phone and the carrier for that to work. Maybe that handshake for the hotspot isn't being, you know, acknowledged by the carrier, so it's not showing on the phone.
Well, it sounds to me like what he's saying is he's lost quick setting access to toggle the hotspot. Not that he's lost hotspot access entirely.
He wants to go
to quick settings and have a quick access toggle button and quick settings,
Shortcutter or any of the quick setting tile kind of add-ons that we've done, that should work. That should do it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Because those seem, I mean, a lot of them are like, they do everything. Any of the settings, and Hotspot would definitely be one of those because people need immediate access to do that. So check out one of those.
So apologies, by the way. TELUS apparently is a main network. I have never been to Canada, so I have no idea what people use.
You're missing a lovely, lovely country, Flo.
No, I know. I just, sorry.
It's literally it's the cleanest place you've ever been. Toronto was spotless. And I'm not even being like. You can't tell the level of sarcasm, but no, I'm not. Yeah, anyway.
Well, you are wearing an I Love Irony shirt, although that's not sarcasm. It's different.
Right. There you go. All right. Our next email comes from Jason, who writes in, not our Jason, but another Jason E. writes in and says, I've been an iOS user for multiple phones now, but I'm considering a jump to the S8. I've seen lots of comparisons between the screen size of the iPhone 7 Plus and the S8 Plus, but it's usually the total frame size and the screen size. Am I correct in assuming that normal videos will not properly fill the whole screen on an S8 Plus because of its resolution being so elongated? If I'm not, do you know of a comparison between standard 1080p video sizes on both devices? Flo, since you've seen the devices and had more hand at time, what does 1080p look like on the S8 Plus?
Well, if you'd like, Brian, please for the over-the-shoulder shot. Whoop. So here we have the screen resolution. You can choose between 1480 by 720, 2220 by 1080, or 2960 by 1440.
So you're in 1080 right now.
So I'm on 1080 right now. Here's, I guess there's the wide one, the wide WQHD Plus. So I'm going to apply that right now. Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
All right.
Okay.
That was about the same.
I don't know what just happened. Let's see. Well, maybe I shouldn't open Photos.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Let me open the phone app. Yeah, I don't know.
Is the main crux of the question that, you know, are you going to get letterboxing on the side?
Yeah, you are.
Video is
you
not
are.
Going to
so
stretch
let
to
me,
fill the entire
so,
screen.
Sorry, there's two parts to this. So yeah, so first of all, there you can choose the screen resolution. The second thing is you can choose a full screen apps option. So what you go in here is you could choose which apps you want to use in the full screen aspect ratio, and you can choose individually which ones you want to use.
Oh, okay, in full screen
so,
mode.
So yeah.
But that wouldn't necessarily blow the video up. Or stretch the video to fill the whole screen, and yeah.
Well,
that would increase the size of the app to fill the entire full screen, or be capable of filling the entire screen, but that wouldn't stretch the video out to the entire.
So let's see. If I turn off Translate, I turn off the full screen app for Google Translate, and we go into Google Translate, which I'm going to search. Oh, it was right there in front of me.
A little bit, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Just getting in there.
So yeah, there's letterboxing on because I turned off the full screen app support, and so when I turn it back on, Google Translate, and we get back in here, blah blah, and you can see it's not black at the top anymore. Now they made it blue to kind of match that top header, and they made it this grayish color on the bottom. The bottom part stayed the same. Because the navigation buttons are there. So yeah, it's just the top part, it looks like.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying to understand the last part of this. Because it sounds like what he's asking, so he's watching, you know, if he's to actually watch like a movie, or something on these screens, how would that translate on the iPhone 7 Plus display versus the S8 Plus display? Maybe we can have a better answer for that once I actually get the S8 Plus and can check it out. But I mean, yeah,
the
ratios are probably different. I don't know what the ratio is on the iPhone 7 Plus, to be honest.
As we furiously look it up.
Google, tell me something. No, I don't have that. Sorry.
It says 1920. It's just 1920 by 1080.
But yeah, you're going to definitely get some of those black bars. It's not going to fill the entire screen. I don't know if that answers your question. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I don't. You wanted to. From what I've seen, nothing's been stretched out. Like YouTube doesn't look stretched out.
Yeah, I don't even think they let you do that. So, I don't know if we answered your question, but there you go.
Sorry.
Marcus from Brisbane, Australia, actually, says it's worth noting that for now, at least, the Google Plus location widget still works when someone shares their location with you in Google Maps. I think that's what someone was asking about in episode 311, because the new widgets they added to Maps are really just shortcuts. And that is true. I tested it out. I'm not going to go through the whole process here, but if I go into my widget, because I don't want to expose the one person that's sharing their location with me, but if I go into Google Plus widgets here, let's see here, where are you? Google Plus user location widget is still an option. And if I drag that to my desktop, if someone is sharing their location with me in Google Maps and with the new location sharing feature inside Google Maps, even though they removed that functionality from Google Plus, this widget still has a live stream of that location onto my home screen via the widget through Google Plus, which is strange. I wonder if they'll move this widget over to Maps at some point.
Someone left it in there.
Yeah, like I don't know how long this is going to be available here. It could disappear at any time, but that's a really great thing to point out, Marcus, because I know some people really enjoyed having that widget on their home screen. It's not a widget that I use, but a lot of people like having that, to have that constant stream. So you can still do that.
My husband was tracking me the other day, by the way, on the new Google Maps feature.
Did you know?
That's not creepy at all.
Well, I let him track me because I went out with my gal pals and I was like, here, you could track me. I'm going to use this.
Now, did you assign it as a temporary or as a permanent?
We just leave it on permanent because whatever. Yeah, I ain't got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then when I got home, he said, I saw you in the strangest places on the map.
I was watching the whole time.
You were in the water, and then you ended up over here. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, really?
My location was all over the place.
The thing that's protecting potential domestic violence is the poor location services in Google Maps.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Right? All right, Flo, you're up next.
Yes, we have another piece of feedback. This is from Josh. He says, I've got a question /rant regarding the discussion about battery life in the last episode. Sorry. Why don't we see phones with huge batteries in the Android space? It seems like most phones hover around the 3,000 milliamp range these days. I've always had an issue with battery life in the Android space, even though I don't really do much with my phone throughout the day. I want to see a phone with a 10,000 milliamp battery. It doesn't matter to me how thin a phone is. Just give me a brick I can actually use for the whole day. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks, Josh. Battery life is a very touchy subject.
Well, he brings up a good question. What if somebody released a phone that looked like S8 in an OtterBox, but it was just the entire thing was just one? It was a honking 10,000 milliamp battery,
like an ice cream sandwich.
How do you think that would sell? If this is the phone that the battery will never die. What would it cost, and what would it look like?
Yeah, I'm sure that there would be some market for some people, that's absolutely the main thing that they worry
and
about.
Why haven't we seen that yet? Why hasn't some crazy Kickstarter happened where somebody's like, literally, we took a 9-day battery and slapped Android on top of it?
I just actually got through Amazon a car jump starter, which is basically an 18,000 milliamp hour portable battery for starting your car, but you can also take it like camping and charge your devices and everything. Maybe that's what we need. I mean, that thing is like a brick. It's like this big.
Yeah.
But if that was a phone, it would be a battery phone.
I didn't even know people make these sort of like dual things, your car and...
Yeah.
Oh, for an electric car.
No. This is for jumpstarting our gas car if the battery dies. So, yeah.
Well,
it's a small portable battery that's capable of jumpstarting your car, but it can also provide battery power to all of your devices because it's 18,000 milliamp hour battery.
Or, Josh, have you considered maybe checking out the Moto Z line of phones that they use mods and they have extra battery packs and stuff?
I mean, that's true.
It's not like...
Yeah.
You know,
do they sell a 10,000 milliamp battery Moto mod though? That's the question.
I don't know, but I imagine that something like that maybe exists. I know that there's actually more accessories that have come out since the phone was launched last summer. And, you know, we are hearing rumor rumblings that the next phone is on its way. So maybe that's something for you to consider. Just, you know, I actually just gave the Moto Z Force to my husband. So, and he's been using it. For that reason, because he can tack on a battery pack on the back. Because that was the big complaint with the Nexus 6P, there are a lot of problems with Nugget, and you just couldn't do it anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I found it, guys. It is the Okatel K10,000.
That brand of phone that Mateo sometimes brings in?
I'm putting it in the chat.
Not Okatel. Okatel.
Okatel.
It's different.
Yeah,
it is different.
Amazon. This is a 10,000 milliamp battery phone, right?
Running.
It's for $160. Not bad. It's 5.5 inches, 1280 by 720 running the...
Really? 10,000 milliamp hour? What?
Did you just say 1280 by 720?
1280 by 720 pixels capacitive screen.
I mean,
powerful Google Android 5.1 operating system.
I mean, it is on Amazon for $160 new.
Yeah. This is an old phone. This is several years old. But still, it's 10,000 milliamps. There it is. Milliamp. I know I mispronounced it. I'm sorry.
I do too.
I say milliamp. Is that not wrong? Right?
Someone once sent me an angry email about my mispronouncing it. But that's just, I put it into the file of mispronouncing angry emails because I get them on a weekly basis.
Mispronouncing happens.
Yeah. But yeah, Okatel
K10,000.
Okatel.
Different.
Okatel.
Perhaps it's intentionally similar.
How long does a 10,000 milliamp battery last? Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, considering how long it takes me to use a 10,000 milliamp, you know, battery. External battery charger.
Mm.
Those things last forever for me.
Yeah. Let's see. So if I go to Okatel.com, let's see if they have like an updated version. They've got the K6000, which has got a 6,000 milliamp battery.
Okatel.
The K6000 Plus, the world's first 12-volt, 2-amp smartphone. Wow. 6,000 milliamp battery charges full charge in an hour and 40 minutes.
6,000 milliamp hour battery, right?
Yep.
We need to do a weird Android show one day, by the way.
This would be a
fun one. I want this. Charge for 5 minutes, talk for more than 2 hours, it says. You'll get 2 hours of talk time after 5 minutes of charging.
Whoa.
That's crazy time. It will give you 365 hours of standby time. Look at this. Wait, Brian, here you go. Jason just did it.
Yeah, I just put the link in there.
This phone, this is amazing.
Oh my gosh, look at this marketing.
I love this phone.
Look, fully charged.
It's got Asahi glass.
I mean,
it's got a glass?
Ron, it exists.
A-S-A-H-I, like the beer. A 16-megapixel rear camera.
Wait a minute. It has beer-branded glass?
It keeps scrolling down. It's got a Scud battery.
Bless
is
you,
it
Brian.
Like a missile?
Yeah, I think
keep
it
scrolling
is.
Down, Brian. You'll see it.
It has front Touch ID. Touch ID is in the marketing. Touch ID. I'm kind of surprised.
This phone. Why does no one have this phone? I want to see it.
MediaTek. Never mind.
It's running new.
Hey, it has 4 gigs.
There it is. Asahi glass.
It's made of beer.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
So it exists and it's running Nougat. Yeah.
There's your phone, buddy.
Yeah.
16 megapixel rear camera.
We can't speak to the quality of this phone.
0.1 second quick focus.
Keep scrolling down to their parallel space. They've got, They've got different user spaces, so you can be logged into two different accounts on Skype at the same time.
I wonder, because parallel space, we've actually featured that app in the arena. I wonder if it's like an official cooperative effort, like marketing.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Interesting.
This phone looks amazing, and I think that we should really get in front of this and really evangelize this phone.
It even has a screenshot mode where you can take a screenshot with the shape of a heart.
That's what I've always wanted to do
in life is take a screenshot of my screen.
Hey, listen, these phones are available on AliExpress, so we can get them. So
what you're saying is that you would like me to buy them tonight when I do my nightly rounds of AliExpress, is what you're saying.
Yes. I'm just saying it's $175 on AliExpress for a 6,000 milliamp battery phone running Nougat. That I don't see how we could go wrong.
That apparently costs $179.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all right.
That's it.
We solved your problem. Up next, one final email. Chris.
One more email. Oh, wait. I still have an email. We got two more.
Oh, sorry. I skipped over it. Sorry.
You blew right past. So Johnny D from Sweden writes in. I love the international community emails. Keep them coming. Johnny D from Sweden says, I've been using Hangouts. Uh-oh. I literally had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, by the way. I've been using Hangouts as my one and only messaging app for a few years now. You know, here it comes. It was a simple way to have group conversations. I could use it to receive and send SMS, .. until today.
Yep.
Google, quote unquote, Google, quote unquote, forced me to change app for managing texting. Why? I don't know. I see no reason to be forced to use two messaging apps just to be able to have real group conversations, and the SMS part of Hangouts wasn't even broke or even bad. Which app should I use to be able to manage SMS and group messages? And Johnny, I wish I had better news for you, but as you encountered, Google has stripped out SMS support from the Hangouts app. They recommend you download a standalone SMS app. They recommend Google Messenger, one of their Android Messages. I use Textra. I recommend you use Textra. That's what I told my friend. And they shut down the Hangouts API. So even third-party messaging apps do not allow you to pull in Hangouts conversations into a unified messaging platform anymore as well. And this is part of the whatever the heck their messaging strategy is, but mainly due to the enterprise, the shuffling off to enterprise of Hangouts. You know, the Hangouts is going to go live on a farm upstate. It'll be happy. It'll live in the enterprise. And for whatever reason, they decided SMS was not needed on the enterprise level, and so they pulled it.
Except for Google Voice. So, if you're a Google Voice user, you can still use Hangouts because that's not confusing at all. Everybody else can't use SMS there, but if you're Google Voice, you can.
So maybe that's Johnny's solution, is to go get Google Voice. I don't know if it's usable in Sweden, but, you know, use that. So,
I don't think you can sign up for new numbers anymore, can you?
No, you can't. You can buy one.
Yeah, I
think. Oh, you can buy one.
No, I have no idea. That's a good idea, though. I should sell my number.
I'm pretty sure you can still.
I don't know. It's just been so long since I even tried to do that. I just assumed.
I don't think they've capped it off. A free phone number for your family, your expanding
network. Get a free phone number.
You can. Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah, go get it.
My friend literally IM'd me the other day, and he's like, dude, Hangouts won't let me send SMS anymore. How come? And I was like, oh, this is a loaded question.
All right, how much time do you have?
Or do you want to get coffee this weekend, and I'll tell you all about it.
yeah, exactly. It's going to require a meeting. Chris McGlashan wrote in to say, hey guys, longtime fan of the show. I had an idea a while back when you were discussing wanting multiple accounts on your Google Home and how Google would differentiate between different users. What if Google allowed different wake words, like what Amazon did by allowing computer as one of their wake words? I know branding is key. By saying OKG or Hey G, you know that you are connecting to Google and their services. But what if a user could set up Google Home to use their own custom wake word like OK Jarvis or OK insert name here? That would be a good one. Wouldn't that be a good way for Google to differentiate between accounts?
Yes.
Then it would know just by the wake word who is asking the question.
Yes.
Obviously, each user would have to have a different wake word for it to work with multiple accounts. But it seems, at least to me, the most logical way for the device to incorporate different users. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree.
I figured that out.
Yes. I'm sorry. I feel like you were preaching. That's why I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Affirmative.
Yeah. Raise. I mean, that seems like a way to do it, but it still seems kind of tricky to me.
Why?
I don't know. It seems.
You call your
pet. It seems like
a
workaround to me. I feel like Google should be smarter than that. Like, why should we all have to go through
setting.
Okay, but how
that
about
up.
Until if it gets that smart?
Yeah, remember, I would rather have it than
need,
not. So yeah,
maybe sometimes you need to get tutoring.
I think voice recognition is going to be very, very hard. And I think that if they're going to do this, it's going to be through different wake words. I agree. I think that's what's going to happen.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's more user-friendly. I would love to be able to give my little Glugenfloggen a name of its own.
Everybody has Google. Their own cute little word for Google Home.
Okay, Glugenfloggen.
What do you... That is good. No one else would choose that. Mine woke up. Oh, my goodness. Take this overhead shot. I'm serious.
Are you serious?
I'm keeping talking because it's still going right now. Yes, it did. Work.
Oh, no. It hurt you so
It worked.
Wait a minute. My Google Home isn't working.
Of course.
Wait, let me try it. How do we pronounce this? Guggenflogen?
Yeah. All
right, ready?
Yep, it works. It works.
All right.
Actually works.
I mean, I'm going to try it on my Google Home. Hang on.
All right.
Ready? All right. You can't really see it. It's off of the camera. It's over. We move the Google Home. But anyway. It worked.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It totally worked.
Everybody in chat is complaining about this,
gosh.
Too.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. I mean,
I just made that up.
But honestly, I mean, when you take a step back, Guggen is very close to Google.
She just said, I hope everything is okay. Oh, Guggenflogen, things aren't okay.
Oh, silly Guggenflogen.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, I love Google Home so much. You don't understand.
I'm
so happy.
I realized, and we're all realizing right now, there are a lot of ways that you can wake Google Home without or assistant without actually saying the wake word. Somebody needs to compile a list of all the ways you do, because then you do have a million different wake words. I mean, you have options.
I can't believe
they
that
might
just
not
happened.
Make much sense, but you have options. They just sound similar.
Is it the... Man, oh, I am floored.
It's crazy.
All right. That was fun. And I'm sorry to everyone.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that triggered your Google Home, because that was not meant to. I was just making a joke.
But it worked. It worked. Let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of today's episode of All About Android, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you've ever gone through this whole process, this crazy, crazy process of getting a mortgage, securing a loan for the house, you see that you've found the house of your dreams and you want to move in, getting there, getting into that home, you know, there's a lot of steps along the way in securing that mortgage. You want to work with someone who you can trust. You want a process that isn't complicated, that doesn't require you to pull information from all sorts of real world places. You want to do it all online, because that's where we live our lives now. And that's what Rocket Mortgage is all about. You can work with someone who has your best interest in mind and can help you through that process. With Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision, so you don't have to waste all that time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial information to get a mortgage approval in minutes. And you can even adjust the rate and the length of your loan, kind of play around with the numbers, see where you can get in real time to make sure that you get the mortgage solution that's just right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. So skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. You're going to start calling your Google Home Guggenflogen, aren't you?
I don't see how we can't.
It's fun to say, is the thing.
I wonder if it actually means something.
Let's use the search engine
Google
called
Translate.
Google. Guggenflogen. I think not Guggenflogen.
Oh, Guggen. Detected Japanese.
Well, there's two results. When you put in Guggenflogen, there are two results. I'm not going to click either of them, but there are two
results.
Yeah,
the second one is... Yeah,
Don't.
Oh, whoa, okay. Wait. Ooh.
Nope. All
Maybe
right.
We just move on.
Apparina
well,
time.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Two results. I'm almost more impressed by the fact that it has two results than if it had no results whatsoever. Because you can find
that's
words
true.
That don't exist on
that's
search
true.
Engine.
And the internet
but something
is so
that
fast.
Has two results, that's pretty impressive. All right. Last week's poll, bit.ly/AAAVote313. And checking in on this, we have, what is it? Is it Libby? Libby?
Libby.
Libby. I don't know why I end up calling. Okay. Someone asked me, like, what was that from?
I
was
oh,
like,
man, I had no I came idea. In third place.
41.5% for Libby. Second place is Volume Notification. Congratulations. 26.1%. Third place is Eevee Launcher with 19.4%. And then last place, 13% with Chameleon Run. Yours was Eevee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ron, yours was Volume.
Volume, okay. Correct. And it looks like Wade County is not in the chat room, so we have no idea what the scoring looks like. So
that's okay. We forgive you, Wade.
But you're allowed to take a break every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
We don't need to keep tabs every single week, and we certainly didn't prepare for it, so we won't. So then that means I go last. Also, yay. And that means Flo, you go first. You have a good one, by the way.
Wait a minute. I might have found the what was last week's episode? 313?
313 was last week.
13.
Okay, it has not the points have not. Okay, you do your app and I'll figure out while Wade's gone. I can figure out what the scoring is. Sorry.
Okay.
Carry on.
Okay.
No worries. You know, sometimes just feel like making silly little video clips. Sometimes I just am feeling really creative. And I've been reviewing the Galaxy S8. I've just been looking for apps that can help me make creative things, video apps and things of the sort. How did I completely overlook Adobe Premiere Clip? Oh, my gosh. This app is fantastic. So I made a little ditty today from some pictures I took of the Galaxy S8 because I had the song stuck in my head all day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn up the media sound so we can hear this, although you've seen this already if you follow me on Twitter. But I made this project today. So what I did is I recorded the song while listening to it on Spotify with a recording app, and then I imported it in here. And then I went and I added the pictures from my Dropbox, and it just made this.
Oh,
nice.
Just, you know, that's why it sounds so terrible, by the way, because. So I just made this little 15-second clip with Adobe Premiere Clips. It took me a couple of minutes. Obviously, I had to record that part of the Foreigner song. But then I put all this together and I exported it to Instagram. Well, I saved it to my device and I exported it. The reason I really like to use Adobe products, too, is because I am a Creative Cloud subscriber.
Yeah,
so everything I do saves, you know, goes into the cloud, which I appreciate. I can access, you know, older things that I've edited in Lightroom and things of the sort. You can import any videos that you've taken with the phone. You can import photos. I tried to import some .mov files today. That didn't really work. So
yeah, .mov being a container, that can be tricky.
Yeah, I don't think it works with that, but it will work with anything you take with your smartphone, and it's pretty easy to add. I mean, you can add from your Creative Cloud account, Google, or Dropbox, or even from your device storage. There's community videos if you need some inspo, you know, kind of want to see what other peeps are up to, what they're doing. There's filters you can add to the projects if you like. Which I, you know, haven't really used yet, so I'm not entirely sure how cool those look yet, but I'm on that path. So Adobe Premiere Clips, it's free. It's super easy to use.
You don't have to be a Creative Cloud subscriber to use it. You can use it. It's just the expanded kind of cloud features are available.
Yes, thank you, Jason. Yes, you don't have to be a Creative Cloud subscriber, but you will get a couple of extra, you know, goodies like cloud storage and such that really, if you like to create things, can be really helpful.
Yeah, it's a good, there are not a lot of really good, really well-designed, easy-to-use, kind of quick video editing apps on Android.
I just want to make my own stupid little memes that I laugh at myself because that's how I entertain myself working from home every day.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. It's got a nice flow to it.
Yeah, and it's
got
very
a nice
easy
flow.
To use.
Flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Excellent. Adobe Premiere Clips.
Or Adobe Clip.
I love the Adobe Premiere is just a great platform. Yeah. So it's cool to have it be on the on mobile. So Flo, while you were doing that, I did calculate the scores.
It's still not in my favor.
So not in your favor, unfortunately. Flo, you're currently in last with 36 points. Jason and the guests are now tied for 40 points. So, Jason, you had some big gains. And by coming in second last week, I still hold on to first place, but with 44 points. So if Jason wins this week, he could be sitting in first place. Flo, if you win this week, you could be sitting in second place, that much closer. Wow, so anything can happen. It's anybody's game this week. No guess. It really is.
I like the new rules. It makes it more interesting.
Yeah, you're absolutely. I mean, yeah, you did not win, but you're totally in the game. Like, that's great. That's the whole point. So, all right. Onto my app. If you are like me and you do a lot of work that involves information and sometimes some product design and things like that, and you wireframing and flow charts and things like that are things that you might do quite often if you're a developer, if you're doing things like that, no doubt these are things that you do. I've always been frustrated that there's no good mobile wireframe app for phones and tablets until I found one today. It's called Wireflow Wireframe Design, and it's literally made by a bunch of developers who are like, we are frustrated that there's no wireframe app, so we made one. It's really simple. You can, by hitting that action button, you can choose the different tools that you want to use. Let's just hit on the shape. And if you long press on the grid, you can add a shape and you can tap and move it around and you can change its size, right? And then if you go to the action button again and choose the line, the one right in the middle, the line. You can then long tap, hold, and create a line, and you can connect that to that, and now create a new shape. You can move that over, and now create another square, right? And you create this little circle, and you can move that to line up to the line. And there you have, you've created a little bit of a flow right there, although it's not flow sitting next to you, flow, F-L-O-W. This is great in a pinch if you're brainstorming, if you're on a trip with a coworker, or if you're in the airport, you have an idea, whether you're wireframing or flowcharting, doing user flows or anything like that. This is just, it's a dead simple tool that lets you do these great things. They do have snap to grids, which is pretty cool to see there. So it works. You can connect your items, and yeah, you can use it to, create flowcharts like Jason's doing, or if you want to, hit the hamburger button in the upper left-hand corner, you can create a new project. And then now, instead of doing a flowchart, you can actually wireframe out an app. So you can hit the square button, you know, choose the square and make a big square. Long press on the grid.
Yep. There we go.
There you go. And now make that the size of the whole area, right? So yeah, there you go. This is Jason's app design right here, right? And then now you can add another square right in the middle, right? We're gonna make the Yandex app. Right, so you can do that and make that into a thin rectangle that goes horizontal like an input box, right? There it is. And now you can choose the text tool, or there's your graphic. You can choose the text tool and you can put that right in the middle of that box and you type search or Yandex. Yeah. And you're prototyping. Jason, you're making wireframes. It's amazing. Look at this. You could be a designer. So
there we go.
There we go.
It looks like an app. I created that. Mom. Dad, I created an app.
And let me tell you, this is the beginning of designing an app. Wireframing and prototyping is one of the most important for early steps in fleshing out an app. Brian, if you go to the Google Play Store page for this app, you can see some screenshots of the app where they kind of give a little more fleshed out app designs. Jason, nice. Not that your design wasn't great.
It's just the beginning.
But these are just kind of an example of apps that, you know, of designs that have done a little more thought. It's great for just on the go, either flow charting or rapid development wireframing to use on your phone, which I know the number of times I've been in an airport and I had an idea for a project or something like that. I didn't want to take my laptop out. My handwriting is awful. This is a great way to do that. You can save them out. You can share them. So very cool stuff. So Wireflow wireframe design, free in the Google Play Store.
Excellent. Yep. Wireflow wireframe design. All right, my app, let's see here, is an app that came out for iOS, I think, towards the end of last year. Got a lot of people talking. And it's a pretty cool way for enjoying kind of short-form audio and podcast content. It's called 60dB, and they had a release earlier today. I think it's more like, if you go to the Play Store page, it actually says 60dB, and then in parentheses, unreleased. So it's definitely kind of like a beta point right now. It's 50 to 100 installs right now. This is kind of their initial entree into
into the Android world. But basically what you do when you first set up the app, it's going to ask you a number of different sources that you like. So, for example, if I went into my playlist... Oh, wait, sorry. Here I go. I'm already going down the rabbit hole. So this For You section, this is built with all of the different sources that I added in to follow. So NPR is an example. I, of course, Twit is in there, so I added that. There's some Twit bits. 60dB has their own audio content, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, whatever. You can pick all of these, and this what's happening now is basically an ongoing playlist that's updated all the time based on short form audio content that all of these sources put out. The idea behind the app is mainly that it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of long form podcast content out there. Podcasts is something that a lot of people do, but there's a certain kind of spontaneity and not having to think about it when you turn on the radio. So this is kind of like an idea of mixing both of those worlds. Taking short form audio content from sources that you like or that you trust or whatever, and having it dynamically create these playlists on the fly in a way that you could just hop in the car, hit play.
So shuffle for podcasts.
Kind of, yeah, with short form audio.
Or radio.
Right?
Shuffle radio.
Yeah, shuffle radio for podcasts. You know, that's one way to look at it. So, you know, you could kick this off and it would jump right into the NPR hourly news summary. This was updated like not very long ago, like 20 minutes ago. So that would play. I think I have it muted.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. It's the same one on Google Home, too, I think.
Yeah,
that is. Yeah, the news summary. Yeah,
there you go. And then I could jump and get, the next one in the playlist. It's all kind of created dynamically for you, so you don't have to think about it. It's like sometimes you want to get in the car. You don't want to have to, like, open up your podcast app and and find the podcast that you want to listen to. You just want to go. Hit play and go. And that's kind of what this is all about. You can also, of course, jump in. They have some sections like this is a little carousel on audio miniseries.
So wait, what happens on this miniseries?
So this I could follow this, and really I could just play through this series in tandem, you know, one after the other. So it's maybe more like a traditional podcast aggregator based around a particular miniseries. And then down below, you know, they just have all the channels, like ESPN, for example, has all their podcasts updated. So it's kind of a podcast aggregator, but with a different kind of focus. There is longer form content in here. If you subscribe to a provider, the longer form, like Twit, for example, you could find TNT in our page in here, but that's not going to appear in your What's Happening playlist. Anything under 10 minutes will appear there.
Oh.
And so it keeps it kind of short and concise, and just kind of a great way to kind of, you know, listen to a bunch of podcasts from a bunch of different providers and not have to really think about it. You can just kind of hop in the car and go.
You just want to listen to talking.
Yeah,
just
cool.
Or whatever. So there's the Nerdist Podcast Network. All their stuff is going to be here. So you can see hour and 44 minutes interview up there. That's not going to end up in the daily briefing. But this first look of Captain Marvel's whatever, would appear there. So anyways. There it is. It's called 60dB, and it's pretty cool. Apparently we had one of 60dB people on Twit on Sunday. I did not know that, but there you go. It's a cool app. It's definitely kind of early days, it feels like, for that. When I was looking at the iOS version versus this, iOS version is has a little bit more flow to it. But it's a good start. is that because I used your name?
No, actually, no.
Okay.
Just because you know, the olden days, the
age is old.
From iOS, yes. And it's just like, you know, it comes on Android. It's like not exactly Android yet.
But it'll get there, hopefully. We hope. So the poll is a little different because the normal one was taken. So someone's probably playing a joke. But that doesn't matter
because
we already got it anyways. bit.ly/AAAPoll. 314 bit.ly/AAAPoll 314 to place your vote for your favorite Adobe Premiere clip gets Brian's
vote. Hey, he hasn't voted for me in a while. That makes me happy.
That's good.
Thank you, Brian.
Very good, Brian. And that is it. That's all we got. And we got no more.
Nope, that's it.
Nope. Blow. Thank you for coming in and showing off the S8, and I hope you have a wonderful time with that. You won't be in the studio next week.
No, but I will.
We're going to miss you.
I will miss you guys, but we will be
soon enough.
soon enough, and I will be testing these phones.
Excellent.
On AndroidCentral.com.
Fantastic. Well, and you have a write-up? You have a review that's
on? I have a review on iMore.com right now. So, yes, I wrote the review for Apple people. Mm-hmm.
iMore has really expanded.
No, it is.
They've expanded their
coverage. No, exactly. But I wanted to add that it is the inaugural Android review on iMore.
That's
so
awesome.
You should go read it and support that so that you can see more Android things come on iMore.
Yeah. Love it.
Yes.
Good work. So check out iMore.com and you can find Flo's review of the S8 there. Ron, what about you?
Yes. So I am just making podcasts all the time. You can go follow me on Twitter at RonXO and you can find me. I'll tweet out about the various shows that I'm doing. Check out iFanboy over for comic book discussion and TV and movies and things like that. We're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming out in a couple weeks, which is going to be pretty fun, as well as all the latest and greatest in the comic book world. Additionally, I do Damn Fine Podcast with Tom Merritt, where you can listen to our rewatch and reanalysis of the show Twin Peaks. And in 2 weeks, Mr. Brian Burnett will be on the show. So a little All About Android crossover there for you. So definitely check that out and enjoy any of the content that I make that you enjoy. And thank you. I'm tired.
It's okay. You're going to fall asleep in like 5 minutes here.
Yeah, I know.
So
it's great.
You say 2 weeks, but Brian... It's in the can, right?
It's in the can. No, we recorded.
It's done, yeah.
Yeah, last Friday we did it together. It was a lot of fun.
Last Saturday. Yeah, last Saturday we did it. Right. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be out on May 1st, which is a Monday, which means that everyone will be able to listen to it. And then on Tuesday, we can review Brian as a guest on this show. There you go.
Right, my inaugural appearance on another podcast. But, you know, Ron, that's not the only thing I do. I also work on Know How with Padre. And that also kind of ties into why I picked your app, Flo, because we are doing Adobe Premiere tips. And now that I just saw your app tonight, I think it'd probably be a good idea to do some mobile tips, too. Like doing some editing on your phone. So I'm going to incorporate that into Know How. But otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo.
Nice. Thank you, Brian, as always. Mm-hmm. You can find me at jasonhowell.net or yellowgoldmusic.com. After this show is done, let's you and I talk about our lower thirds, because I've realized I'm not pointing to about.me anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't really use Google Plus as much these days, so I should probably swap
likewise,
it out.
Likewise, I'm right there with you, my friend.
So we'll
I'm right
figure there it out. With you.
Realistically, it's mainly probably Twitter and Instagram. Those are the two places I'm most active. Yeah. So.
All right. We'll figure it out.
So are we calling it? Is Google Plus dead then? Is that it?
That's the thing. It's been I've not wanted to remove it because I don't want to admit it. But no, I don't think that it's dead necessarily. There are plenty of people. There's an active community. It's just
there is.
It's just a matter of time. And Google I/O is around the corner. I would not be surprised. If it's
we
move
have
the
an actual
gonna,
funeral at Google I/O, an actual
it's gonna move
burial.
To the Enterprise. It's going to move to the Enterprise.
I don't know.
Actually,
I'm not going to say it.
To be fair, Know How's community, Google Plus community, is super active. Like,
yeah, see, that's the thing.
So for that, it's perfect. But I don't go on there to like do updates or anything like that. I just go out to interact with people and their projects that they do for the show.
That's kind of like I will go on there for the All About Android community that we have and interact there. And even that I'm really bad at. I'm sorry, you guys. I love
especially since we took the poll out of Google Plus.
I know. And I realized that was kind of like. Anyway. Sorry to end on such a bummer. But anyways, that's it for this week. I'm going to end on a bummer. There you go.
No, Jason, let's turn this around. Let's end. Let's remind the genius of Guggenflogen.
Oh, that's right. Make sure and rename your Google Home Guggenflogen.
But don't search for it. But don't search for it, whatever you do.
Depending on how you spell it, don't search for it. All right, that is it for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can leave us an email or a video mail at AAA@twit.tv. We do have a subreddit and at twitaaa.reddit.com. There it is. Twitter at Android Show. We have show notes and past episodes on twit.tv/AAA. We also have our episodes showing on YouTube, iTunes, everywhere you can find podcasts, of course. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting somewhere around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Oh, now I can go to sleep.